It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We will take your calls and your messages on Twitter later on in the show. But for now, we're joined by Michael Cohen from the Syracuse Post-Standard, also Syracuse.com. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us. And we just want to get a little insight. The Giants rookies are in the building for the first time today. We'll get our first look at everybody the Giants drafted and brought in as undrafted free agents. But obviously the two guys I want to focus on with you are Justin Pugh, the Giants' first-round pick, and Ryan Nassib. Let's start with Justin Pugh. He was the Giants' pick in round number one. What type of player are the Giants getting in Justin Pugh?
Well, first and foremost, you're getting a player that has a lot of athletic ability for the position that he plays. He was a left tackle at Syracuse, protecting the blind side of Ryan Nassib for the past 3 years. And all the people that I talk to, coaches and scouts alike, from college and the next level, say that Pugh just has great athleticism. And you routinely saw plays last year where he would be downfield leading the blocking for a running play, and he would be pretty much able to keep up with the running backs in a lot of those plays. He wasn't getting left behind at the line of scrimmage. He has the ability to move laterally quickly, and that's something that was really important for Syracuse last year, which was a team that was run first, pass second for a lot of the season. He's also a very intelligent guy. He is one of the smarter players on the Syracuse team last season. He knows the playbook inside and out. He's very mature, responsible, respectful. So he's one of those guys that coaches love because of his personality and the way he plays on the field, which earned him 3 All Big East selections in his career.
Now, did Justin and did Syracuse run more of a zone blocking scheme, or was it more a man-to-man scheme that he had experience in there?
Syracuse did a little bit of both. They have some plays. The left side of their line last year was their strength with Pugh and Chabane, Zach Chabane, their left guard last year. And so they really ran out that side hard, and that was mostly accomplished using the zone read play from the quarterback position with Nassib, choosing to hand off or keep it himself. But they really ran hard after that left side. So they did a little bit of zone blocking, but, Pugh also just loves the man-to-man challenge. One of the things he loved the most was just going man-to-man, mano-a-mano. For 2 years here at Syracuse, he went up against Chandler Jones, the defensive end for the Patriots. So he loves those challenges, and he can do a little bit of both and a little bit of everything.
Now, during this draft process, a lot was made of his apparently extremely short 32-inch arms, which, I think people get hung up on these measurables a little bit. Was there any signal, any sign, any talk about that in his time in college, or anything that hurt his production that might have had to do with his apparently shorter than usual offensive tackle arms?
Yeah, you're right. That was definitely one of the storylines with him going into the draft. And he said he didn't realize he had short arms until he got to the Senior Bowl, because Chandler Jones, and for anybody that follows UFC, knows that the Jones family, especially John and Chandler, have incredibly long arms, unbelievably long arms. John has an 84-inch reach.
Wow.
And Chandler isn't far behind. So he was blocking someone for 2 years in practice every day with arguably the longest arms, or some of the longest arms in the NFL, and Chandler Jones, and he said he had no problem with it whatsoever. So he doesn't believe it's a big deal. He thinks it's just one of those things, one of those measurables like the 40-yard dash. Sometimes it's a great indicator, sometimes it's not, of what a guy is going to be at the next level. The thing that I really like about Pugh at the next level is his potential to play any position, really, on the offensive line. He said that he went into meetings with scouts, coaches, and front office people leading up to the draft, and he told me that he said he would be willing to play any position across the offensive line, including center, and he thinks with one summer of work, he could easily and be that utility guy that can really be plugged in at all five spots across the line.
How NFL ready is he? Can he step in and play? You mentioned how smart he is. How about physically? Do you think he'll be able to adjust to the NFL and the bigger and stronger players here in just 1 year?
I think by the end of the season he can. I think there'll be a little bit of a learning curve at first, just because, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's put on some weight since leaving Syracuse, but his playing weight this past season was 298, which isn't as high as you'd normally see for an offensive lineman,
right.
You know. But he's fairly strong for his size. He can get stronger. You know, he hadn't bench pressed too much after his shoulder surgery. He missed the first four games of this season due to shoulder surgery, so he was still kind of working himself back into the whole bench process routine going into the draft, bench press routine, rather. So I think maybe for the first couple games he struggles a bit, but, you know, he's a smart enough kid with enough talent and enough agility that he can make it work. And I think he's going to end up being a solid player for the Giants.
Finally on Pew, what type of guy are the Giants getting in the locker room? My sense of him from just hearing him on the conference call is that he's one of those bring your lunch pail to work every day, put in a good day's work, be good in the classroom, and really just provide good chemistry and be a good teammate for the rest of the guys in that offensive line meeting room.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a guy that is great for the locker room. You know, no attitude problems. When he loses, you know, he's upset, but he's not disappointed in his teammates. He takes it hard on himself. What could I have done better? Did I miss a block during the game? So he's really all about anything that gets the team better. I mean, he and his roommate used to go out bowling three or four times a week. You know, they're just the type of guys that like to go out and have fun. He's a great guy for the locker room, and he also has a great appreciation for the game of football itself. You know, he knows who does what at the combine. He knows who is ranked ahead of him, behind him for the tackle spot. So he's a student of the game in that he just enjoys learning about football, the history, who's doing well now, and who's going to be the next guy. So I think he's someone that the Giants will enjoy having in their locker room. And, you know, even if the adjustment process takes a little bit longer, that'll be okay, simply because he's not a guy that's going to slack once he gets into the office, like you said.
We're joined by Michael Cohen, Syracuse Post Standard, Syracuse.com. Let's jump over to Nassib, and I'll start with the same question I ended with on Pew. What type of guy in the locker room are the Giants getting in Ryan Nassib?
That's more of an interesting question, because Nassib is the master of turning it on and off for the media. He is a guy who, while at Syracuse, never shied away from an interview, you know, but he didn't really go out of his way to be the most interesting guy on camera or in a soundbite or, you know, post-game at the podium. But I've heard from multiple teammates of his over the years that in the locker room he is a fiery guy and can get passionate and really kind of put on a different display than what he does for the media. So, to be honest, I can't really answer the question of what he's going to be like in the locker room, because everyone says he's different than what he is out on out in the press, which is a calm and cool, collected guy. So if he does have that fiery passion, then that's good, because, you know, sometimes you want that from your quarterback. But as he pointed out, he sees a lot of similarities between his demeanor and Eli Manning's demeanor, which is not the most headline-grabbing guy, not the most paparazzi guy, but he just goes in, does his business, and wins football games, and that's what Ryan says he wants to try and help the team do.
Yeah, it actually sounds I was going to say that. It sounds very similar to the attitude Eli Manning has. Do you think he's going to be able to adjust to being a second or third quarterback and maybe not get a jersey for, you know, part of the season here if he's inactive on game day? Will he be able to handle that mentally given the type of competitor he is?
You know, that's a really great question, because Ryan Nassib is one of the most competitive people I've ever been around in my 4 years covering the Syracuse football team. I mean, this is a guy that hates to lose at anything, regardless of what it is. And I talked to him right after he was drafted, and he said, you know, as much as I want to compete, I'm really looking forward to coming in and playing behind Eli, because he said it takes a little bit of pressure off his shoulders. Because as I'm sure you guys know and Giants fans know, there were some mock drafts that had him going to teams where he probably would have come in and started or competed right away.
Yep.
And now he doesn't have to do that. So he's really looking forward to just soaking in everything that Eli has to offer. And then maybe when he does get a chance down the road, if that's with the Giants or if that's with another team, wherever it may be, he thinks he'll be better prepared. And so he's looking forward to that opportunity where he doesn't come in and get frustrated with himself if he doesn't perform right away, because now he has some seasons to polish himself up.
How would you describe the offense and the system that Nassib ran up at Syracuse?
Well, the system that they ran was pretty much entirely dependent on Nassib's decision-making, and that comes from head coach Doug Marrone and offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, who are now with Buffalo, trusting him to make plays and make decisions at the line of scrimmage. So, for example, 99% of the time last season, with the exception of goal line offense, Ryan Nassib was lining up in the shotgun. And on any given play, he had four choices to make within milliseconds of the ball being snapped.
Wow.
On every snap, he could hand off to the running back for a zone read. He could pull the ball out of the running back's belly and run it himself. He could throw a bubble screen to the wide receiver, or he had a pop pass over the middle to the tight end. So on any play, he had four options. And sometimes, of course, based on the defense, he would make up his mind before the snap. But sometimes, as with his own read, he's reading defensive ends and defensive tackles to see who crashes down
right. And
who doesn't. So it's really dependent on Nassib's decision-making, which tells you right there that he's probably a pretty intelligent guy. And he is a very intelligent guy. He was a scholar-athlete at Syracuse throughout his career. But the thing that really impresses me about Nassib is his toughness. Because he didn't always have the greatest offensive line around him. Sure, he had pieces in Pugh and Chabane, like I mentioned, but some of the other guys weren't up to that level. And he took some serious hits this season. And I remember, in particular, I covered the game at Missouri this year, and he got drilled on one play really bad. And that was the first time that Nathaniel Hackett told me after the game that he was legitimately worried Nassib wouldn't be able to go back in. And Ryan popped right back up, went back in, and led the team to a fourth-quarter comeback, which he was pretty good at this year. And, that's really what impresses me the most is his toughness. But the decision-making is there. The ability to throw the ball is there. And, when people aren't expecting it, he can make a play or two with his feet.
Did he express any worry or doubt to you of his ability to adjust to a more NFL-style offense where he's going to have to be on their center and drop back and, adjust to that footwork? Is there any concern with his ability to adjust to that?
I don't think so, because he did that earlier in his career. He went through three different offenses and three different offensive coordinators in his time at Syracuse, and only 2 weeks before his senior season did they put in the NASCAR offense, as they called it, which was the one operated out of the shotgun. So he really had only one season out of the shotgun, and that's what was so impressive about it, is he did so well. Right out of the bat, he passed for over 450 yards in his first game of the season against Northwestern last year. But, he's a guy that came in right away, learned the system, and excelled. So that's something that scouts really liked. And I don't think there's any sense of hesitation or concern, because a lot of his game is predicated on confidence. And about 3 days before the draft started, he told me that even before the season, when he was projected to be maybe a sixth or seventh round pick, he still thought he was the best quarterback available, because he said that's what drives him. If he thinks he's the best, then he has to work like the best to keep that title. So that's kind of his own mindset of where he has to be and how hard he has to work. So throughout the whole draft process, he maintained he was the best quarterback, that he thought he deserved to be the first quarterback pick. And it's not a cocky arrogance with him. It's really just a, I'm going to think this because that's going to influence how I work. And so I don't think there's any nervousness going in, and I think he's just really excited to get back out on the field, because Nassib's a gym rat in every sense of the term.
Is there any limitation in terms of arm strength, making all the throws, powering the ball outside the hash marks, or accuracy when he gets back there and throws it, or can he make all the NFL throws without a problem?
There are some limitations, I think, but, it depends on who you ask. Throughout the season, I saw some examples where, he struggles a little bit sometimes on the touch with his intermediate and short passes, because he throws the ball so hard that, a lot of times he would throw it on, say, a drag route or a slant or maybe, a quick post over the middle. And he would throw it a little bit too hard and it would bounce off the receiver's hand. The balls were all catchable, but sometimes I think the velocity, maybe take it off a little bit. And some scouts said that. Some scouts said that wasn't an issue. But in terms of the deep ball, he's got the arm. In terms of the ability to force it into tight coverage, he did that all season for Syracuse because he didn't necessarily have wide receivers that could create a lot of separation. So I think he can make all the throws. It's just learning some of the subtleties like touch and, loft and things like that, that, he can pick up from Eli, who's one of the best.
We're joined by Michael Cohen from Syracuse.com, Syracuse Post Standard. Mike, anything that maybe I didn't touch on about either one of these two guys or both of them that you think Giant fans should know about them before they get to know them a little bit better at training camp?
Well, the interesting thing to know about them is that they were both lifelong Eagles fans growing up.
Both of them, huh?
So, yeah, both of them. They're both from the Philadelphia area. You know, born and raised there. So they were both Giant Eagles fans, as funny as that term now sounds, because now they're Giant. But no, you know, they're both really excited about the opportunity. And, you know, I think that the only thing to keep in mind is that in drafting teammates, you're going to get two guys who, you know, are not going to, you know, come in and be, you know, shy isn't the right word, but perhaps they're not going to have any of that, you know, difficulty to adjust because they're going to have the support system there. So I really look for the two of them to push each other just as they did here at Syracuse, and I think that's only going to help them improve quicker. And in Pugh's case, perhaps see the field faster since he can be plugged in so many places. But, no, I think we hit on everything. You know, it sounds like the Giants are going to get two solid players, one that can come in and contribute soon and one that perhaps could be a bit of the future.
Michael, appreciate the stuff. Great time. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
That's Michael Cohen from the Syracuse Post-Standard right here on Giants.com. Now we take your calls at 201-939-4513 and on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. And I think a lot of the interesting things that he talked about were, you know, twofold. One, that both guys are extremely intelligent players, and that really fits in to what the Giants want to do here on the NFL level. For one, Kevin Gilbride's offense is notoriously complicated. So it takes a little while to figure that out. The fact that Ryan Nassib has been through three offenses in as many seasons and adjusted to this read option 2 weeks before the season started, I think is pretty telling. And it's a great sign that he's an intelligent player. Number two, I think both guys and their personality and their lunch pail work ethic will fit in well here in this locker room. I think that'll be appreciated by everybody in the locker room, and it'll go a long way towards ingratiating them to their teammates and really becoming part of the Giants' way. That's number two. And then number three, I thought it was interesting what he said about Pugh with the shoulder surgery. He didn't have a chance to bench press much during the season, played at 298, and that maybe strength could be a problem early, which tells me that Pugh might be better off at right tackle than he is at right guard early on. And maybe strength's going to be a little bit of an issue. I think that was interesting too. So good stuff there. Great job by Michael Cohen from Syracuse.com, the Syracuse Post-Standard. I thought it was very interesting stuff. 201-939-4513. We're going to go down to Shakes in Maryland in Baltimore to start off our show. Shakes, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. I'm a little disturbed, though, by what he said. He said they were both Eagle fans. I hate the Eagles.
Well, they are no. I can imagine that they're not going to be Eagle fans any longer, Shakes. I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, I hope so. But, This hybrid, this safety, three safety thing, why are we so high on that? Like, I think that with the regular linebackers, like, I only think that we went to that three safety thing is because we were low on linebackers. You know, Pierce was gone and everything, and Deion Grant kind of filled in for that mentor, you know, leadership. So I think that's why we went to the three safety, but Deion Grant is gone. I mean, we don't have to do that so much anymore.
Well, I think the reason they like it, Shakes, is that if you put a safety there in that third linebacker spot, in that slot area, he's a little bit more versatile than the linebacker you'll have there. You know, a guy like Antoine Roll can cover a wide receiver, can cover a fast tight end out of that spot, and he can support against the run and be disruptive rushing the quarterback if the Giants decide to use him as a blitzer. While if you have a linebacker there, his coverage ability, if an offense goes three wide receivers or if they go a couple tight ends and, you know, one's more on an athletic guy like Aaron Hernandez, for example, you know, you don't really have somebody there that can cover well enough to make that happen.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. I agree with you on that. So, okay, I get that, but we don't have to do it so much, though. More of a traditional linebacker, three linebackers, you know, first, second down. And then, yeah, do the three safety on the, you know, when you throw the NASCAR in there or something, you know, something like that.
Yeah, and I think you're right on first and 10 or on running downs, I think having the three safeties in there is a mistake, because I think you want somebody in there that's going to give a little bit more punch, be a little stronger, and be better at the line of scrimmage. And I think that is one of the reasons the Giants have struggled against the run the last couple of seasons, and last season specifically, is because they have that third safety up there, and he's not quite as good against the run as say, a typical linebacker would be.
Exactly. That's my point, exactly. The guy, Aaron Curry, he's in there today? Have you seen him?
I have not. Aaron Curry, I have not seen him. Again, the Giants don't announce his visit, so I'm not even sure if he's really going to be here today. But no word on that.
Oh, okay. Okay, keep me tabs on them linebackers, man.
I got you covered, Shakes.
All right. Have a good one.
Take it easy. 201-939-4513. Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat, at Mike Farmer 20. Don't want Nassib to adjust too much. Want him running that read option offense for scout team eventually. Well, I think he can actually help probably this year, Mike, based on what they talked about, how he ran that read option for Syracuse this past year. I think Ryan Nassib can be a pretty big factor helping out on that scout team, to be quite honest with you. I thought it was interesting how on any given play he had four options: running back, keeping himself on the read option, bubble screen, or going over the middle to a tight end, and he could do any one of those on any given play, and it was a pre-snap read. It tells you that Nassib's smart enough where he can digest that type of information. I thought that was very fascinating. So, I think the Giants got two good, young, hardworking, and smart players in Nassib and Pugh, based on what Michael Cohen told us. And I think, look, they'll be good character guys in the locker room. They'll fit in. They'll be part of the culture, the Giants way. I think those are all important things. And I think the Giants got good fits with both guys. From Ryan Godfrey at MetsFanRG, what did the Giants have in mind when they drafted Nassib, backup, one-day starter, trade value, etc.? Well, Ryan, you know what? I don't think they're ready to replace Eli Manning yet. So even if Nassib has the talent to, I don't think Eli's going anywhere for another 6, 7, maybe even 8 years. I mean, you can quarterback till you're 37, 38, 39 these days. And Nassib's not, if he's starting caliber, he's not going to hang around for 6, 7, 8 years to get that job. So if that's the case, and he shows enough in preseason or in spot duty in the regular season, in blowouts, for example, or if, you know, Eli gets hurt for the first time in his career, obviously the Giants hope that doesn't happen, but then they can use him for trade bait. Or if he falls somewhere in the middle where, you know, maybe he turns out to be, look, he's one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league. The Giants will hold on to him. He'll be the backup quarterback for 10, 15 years. Nothing wrong with that either. It gives the Giants options. And I think Nassib's play and how he adjusts to the NFL and how he does will have a lot to do with how the Giants end up using him. I really think that's the case. And there's nothing wrong with that. I know he's not going to help you right away, but how many fourth-round picks do help you right away? So that's all I'm saying. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. From Marwan Ali on Twitter, Nassib sounds like he's a very smart quarterback, not just a smart one, more than just very regular smart, I suppose, which is essential for Coughlin Gilbride offense. His intelligence will come in handy when it's time to trade him. I agree, and I think that whole running three offenses in 3 years under three different offensive coordinators, read option, traditional drop back, I think that'll make him that much more attractive on the NFL level. I really do. I think that's a good thing. And I think he'll adjust. He'll be a good backup, and maybe he can step in and start. Who knows? One day. Or they could trade him and get a higher pick than what they picked him at. Also thought it was interesting today, sticking with quarterbacks for a moment. I think it was the New York Post. They had an interview with Geno Smith's offensive coordinator down in West Virginia, and someone else had an interview with Ron Jaworski, who had, and I respect few people's opinions as much as I do Ron Jaworski when it comes to breaking down a quarterback. This guy knows what he's doing. He doesn't just throw stuff out there if he doesn't believe it's true. He's not like Gruden where everything's great, 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 great. And he said a lot of good things about Geno Smith. Loved him. Had a first-round grade on him. Thought he could be a starter in this league. So I think that'll be interesting to see what the Jets have here. But if I'm the Jets, I would still worry about rushing him early and putting him in there, getting him smacked around behind a bad offensive line. I think if I'm the Jets, I'd be careful about that, especially considering the lack of weapons at his disposal. You know, Holmes comes back, whoop-de-doo, Stephen Hill, the running game, Chris Ivory, he's good, but can't get too excited about that. Can't get too excited. And Marwan brings up another point on Twitter. Mayock uses the term scheme versatility when talking about players, and he's right, that does apply to Nassib. We're going to do a lot of different things and fit in a lot of different ways at the NFL level, which is a good thing. It's a really good thing. So the Giants, I think, got good deals with them. Remember, the rookies arrived today. I'm looking forward to meeting these guys for the first time. We'll give you a little report. Sights and sounds on Giants.com later on today. Michael and Eisen have our rookie training camp, rookie mini camp, preview on Giants.com coming on today as well. And then we'll talk to a couple exclusive interviews on Friday and Saturday. We'll do the show tomorrow morning. We'll talk about the rookies a little bit and my first experience meeting them. And it should be a lot of fun. So I look forward to it. It's good to have the guys in the building and really get a feel for what they can do. Final call. The show is going to Len down in Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, John. How are you this morning?
What's up, bud?
Good. Listen, good interview with that guy from Syracuse. A lot of positive things that came out of that call. And, you know, you got to be feeling optimistic about the future of these two guys.
Are you feeling better about Pugh, Len?
Yes, I am. I am. Of course, my whole thing is, you know, Sunday night against Dallas, you know, opening night. I want to see an upgrade from where we were last year at right tackle, and I'm beginning to get the feeling that this guy can, he can play. Now, whether Coach Tom will put him in there, you know, a rookie, Sunday night football, you know, on the road, division foe, DeMarcus Ware, you got all those things working against Justin. I just hope he can play and play soon. And that's, I hope you don't take that as a knock against David Deal. Or
not at all.
Because, we need an upgrade. We need better play there. And the quarterback, you know, still a little bit of a head-scratcher, but, hey, the guy can play. I mean, I don't think there's any question. You know, if Jaworski says he had a first-round grade on him, and a lot of the draft gurus had first-round grades on this guy, and then some people talked about him being a second-rounder, and you get him in the fourth, that's pretty good. I just wish he was a linebacker that had dropped. or somebody at another position, but
right.
You know, I think it was a solid draft. And now here's my new worry for the day. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be labeled as a downer here, but you know as well as I do, anything can happen from even just getting the physical all the way through playing a game. And I hope we can stay relatively healthy this year. And can keep these young guys off that IR list, so at least they can spend, you know, a year with us, you know, working on some things and getting ready for the future. But it's a tough game. It's a rough game. People get hurt. I mean, it's the way it goes. But
yeah.
I just hope we get, you know, we don't have to get a break on injuries. Just, you know, as long as they're our share and nothing more. I think this team can go. I think this team can go a long way. I mean, we got players, but you know as well as I do, it's all built around our stars playing like stars. You know, our core 10 guys have got to perform better than you know they did last year. You've heard me say this before, but if we can get Victor under contract long term, this whole offseason moves up pretty close. In fact, let me be optimistic. I give it a, you know, an A-minus offseason.
Yeah.
If we could get Victor under that, you know, that long-term contract. I think it's been a good offseason. Jerry did the usual solid job. I mean, this team's poised. They were poised last year. I think they're poised this year. I just, it's time. We got that Super Bowl in our stadium. Let's go get it. Let's get there.
Appreciate it, Len.
Okay, man. Take care.
You have a good one. Good stuff out of Len. And I know he's still looking for that Victor Cruz move. I know a lot of people out there, too. I don't want to get in that today. We're about to wrap up the show. But we'll talk about that as we move forward here. Now, once we get through this rookie minicamp, and we get closer to mandatory minicamp, and that's when the pressure is really going to be on. Is Cruz going to take fines for not showing up to mandatory minicamp? He hasn't exactly made a ton of money here, so the fines will hurt him, despite, you know, I know all the endorsement money and all that stuff is great. But we'll see. I think that'll be interesting. Everybody, thanks for joining us today on the phones. I thought thanks to Michael Cohen of Syracuse Post-Dispatch, Syracuse.com, for giving us a couple minutes as well. Fantastic job. I feel like I know a lot more about Nasmyth Pugh now than I did before that spot. So, you guys should go back. If you didn't hear it, if you joined us a little bit late, you can go back and check out the podcast on Giants.com and listen to that interview in its entirety. Everybody, thanks for joining us on Giants.com. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Enjoy your day.